Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Robert Venable once again inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We're excited about the message we want to bring to you today. We pray you'll take time out of the busyness of your day to turn with us to the Word of God as we explain the Scriptures, expound the Scriptures, and above all, try to bring people who may have never heard about the wonderful claims of Christ into this wonderful truth so that they may be saved. And if you're a Christian today, you can't help but get excited as we revisit all those Scriptures that point to Jesus Christ as our great sovereign King and our wonderful source of salvation. We're so glad to be proclaimers of the gospel of Jesus Christ today. And we're glad that you're tuned in right here on WMAF. This is a wonderful, wonderful privilege for us to minister by way of this radio station. A wonderful family-friendly radio station. Great entertainment. A great way to spend your day. You ought to just put your dial right there and leave it all day long and just be lifted up. This is classic country, classic gospel, and classic preaching, as I've often said. And there are other ministries here on this station as well, and we invite you to listen in. Good Bible-based preachers and teachers, and we're glad to be part of their ranks proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to really the ends of the earth. If someone has a computer, and they go to WMAF home, type it into a search engine, it'll take them to their homepage, and right up in the right-hand corner of that homepage, they can click and 24/7 hear WMAF anywhere in the United States, anywhere that anyone is connected to the World Wide Web. And we invite you to tell other people anywhere in the world about this broadcast. We believe that we're going to bring some exciting truth forth from the Word of God. I'm always excited when we go to the Word of God because the Bible said, amen, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And you know what that means? That means it is God breathed. The actual Greek word for inspiration is breathed. And you know, God breathed life into that he fashioned from the dust of the earth, and Adam became a living soul when God breathed that life upon them. Jesus in the New Testament breathed upon those early disciples and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And so we just believe that this God-breathed word has spirit and life within it. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Amen. So this is a different book than any book in all of the world because it can bring life to dead faith. It can bring life to those who are dead in trespasses and sins if we respond to the great call of God that is found in Scripture. Praise the Lord. Amen. We've got a wonderful subject today, and I want to get right into it and use this time wisely to talk about Jesus Christ. Amen. We would like to title this teaching, "Let the Redeemed of the Lord Say So." The blood of Jesus Christ speaks, and so should we. Psalm 107 in verse 2 in the Old Testament says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." Amen. So we want to look at a scripture here that is normally associated with communion. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26, it says, For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Literally, the word show, S-H-E-W here, is in the Greek, means to proclaim publicly, to announce, and to make known. To proclaim is to declare publicly, typically insistently, proudly, or even defiantly. To praise or to glorify openly or publicly. That's what we do when we receive Holy Communion. I like one commentator his comments on the word show, S-H-E-W. It means to announce publicly. He says the Greek does not mean to dramatically represent, but ye publicly profess each of you, the Lord has died for me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's try let's try to put this in perspective. Matthew Henry says it this way. It was to show forth Christ's death, to declare and publish it. It's not barely in remembrance of Christ, of what he has done and suffered, that this ordinance was instituted, but to commemorate, to celebrate his glorious condensation and grace in our redemption. We declare his death to be the spring of all our comforts and hopes. And we glory in such a declaration. We show forth his death and spread it before God as our accepted sacrifice and ransom. We set it in view of our own faith, for our own comfort and quickening, and we own before the world by this very service that we are disciples of Christ, who trust in him alone for salvation and acceptance with God. You know what Jesus said? He said, if you'll confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father and his angels. And a part of that confession is when we participate as Christians, those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, when we participate in Holy Communion, we are publicly professing and confessing Christ died for me. Praise God. And the Father has promised to confess us before, or Jesus promised to confess us before the Father and his angels. Praise God. Amen. Every enemy has been conquered. Every foe has been vanquished. Every obstacle removed. Every shackle broken. Every word spoken against us is stopped because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And every accuser is cast down. We are declaring publicly that we are the recipients of all that the blood of Christ has accomplished in our behalf. Hallelujah. So the first thing that I want to talk about today in this great subject of let the redeemed of the Lord say so, amen, is that the blood of Jesus Christ speaks, and so should we. Hebrews 12 and verse 24. Listen to it carefully. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. I love the way the Amplified reads. It says, and to Jesus, the mediator, the go-between or agent of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood which speaks of mercy, a better and nobler and more gracious message than the blood of Abel, which cried out for vengeance. Remember in the book of Genesis when Cain slew his brother Abel, and God said that the blood of thy brother crieth from the ground unto me for vengeance. You see, this innocent blood of this murdered one cried out to God, who is a God of justice, to avenge that shedding of innocent blood. How different the innocent blood of Jesus Christ, the pure, sinless blood of Jesus Christ. Instead of crying out for vengeance because of the people who wanted him slain and the people who actually carried out the sentence, the blood of Jesus Christ cried for mercy and forgiveness to all who would repent and ask for that forgiveness. What a contrast. One thing is for sure, blood speaks to God. Innocent blood cries out to God. Amen. The difference is, amen, that this God of justice had punished Jesus in our place, so his blood cried cries mercy for the penitent and mercy for the repentant sinner. I'm glad to be one of those repentant sinners today that has been washed in the blood of the Lamb. We used to sing the camp meeting song, "Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" It sounds to the unlearned ear, it sounds like something terrible and awful to be bathed in blood. We're not literally bathed in blood, but we are spiritually bathed in the blood of Jesus, spiritually cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we see the shedding of that blood for our redemption as the supreme act of love toward us from God. Who am I? Who are you that a king would bleed and die for? And yea, not just a king, but the very God who created us. Jesus, the second person of the Godhead, went up that old hill to that old rugged cross to lay down his life for us. And his blood speaks to God and pleads for forgiveness for those who would repent of their sins. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why this new covenant, amen, this new blood covenant speaks of mercy, a better and nobler and more gracious message than the blood of Abel, which cried out for vengeance. Amen. Look at this in Genesis 4 and verse 10. God said, "And what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." The blood of the innocent that was slain cries out for justice. What does the blood of Jesus Christ speak? What does Christ's blood say to God? It cries that our sin debt is paid in full. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, it says, "Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Jesus is our sacrifice lamb, our substitute. His death on the cross satisfied God's demand for justice. And what does God then say about the blood of the Passover lamb? Exodus 12 and verse 13. It said, "And the blood shall be unto you a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." And that should give us something called confidence and faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus speaks, and so should we. We should have a testimony in light of what the blood of Jesus has accomplished. Praise God. I love Andrew Murray's thoughts on this. He said the blood must have the same place in our hearts which it has with God. We can rely upon the Lord Jesus to reveal the power of His blood. Amen. There is no single scriptural idea from Genesis to Revelation more constantly and more prominently kept in view than that expressed by the words, "the blood," writes Andrew Murray. There can be no approach to God, no fellowship with Him by faith, no enjoyment of His favor apart from the blood. By the institution of the Passover as an enduring ordinance with the words, "When I see the blood, I will pass over you," the people were taught that life can be obtained only by the death of a substitute. Life was possible for them only through the blood of a life given in their place and appropriated by the sprinkling of that blood. It was in that blood, by the covenant, that the covenant had its foundation and its power. It is by the blood alone that God and man can be brought into covenant fellowship. Without blood, there could be no access by sinful man unto a holy God. That's why Jesus makes this claim, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life, and no man comes to the Father except by me." And anyone who tries to climb up, make his way to God any other way is a thief. Literally is trying to take that is rightfully Christ and make it someone else's or his own. Amen. This is a blood sacrifice system, and without the shedding of blood, there is no sacrifice. sacrifice for sins. I may have told you this before, but there was on Larry King, there was a Christian minister who was being interviewed, and Larry King asked him the question, "Don't you think that it is awfully arrogant of Jesus to claim to be the only way to God?" And without even giving it a thought, the minister answered, "Not if it is true." Hallelujah. Is this a controversial gospel? Yes, it is. But is this the truth? Yes, it is. Jesus shed his blood. He is the mediator between God and man. The scriptures declare there is one God and one mediator between God and man, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So we're gladfully, joyfully proclaiming Jesus and Him crucified today. Hallelujah. Amen. A lot of these songs you have heard on this radio station are extolling the blood of Jesus Christ, exalting Him as Lord of all. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. On Moriah, the life was redeemed by the shedding of the blood. In Egypt, it was sprinkled on the doorpost of the houses. But at Sinai, it was sprinkled on the persons themselves. The contact was closer, the application even more powerful. The blood was not only sprinkled on the mercy seat, but literally sprinkled out onto the people. Philip Brooks says, and I quote, "Sin is never so dreadful as when we see the Savior with that blood upon His garments. And the Savior Himself is never so dear, never wins so utter, so tender a love as when we see what it has cost Him to save us. Out of that love, born of His holy suffering, comes the new impulse after a holy life. And so when we stand at last purified by the power of grateful obedience, binding our holiness and escape from sin close to our Lord's struggle with sin for us, it shall be said of us that we have washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Hallelujah. You know, we can preach against sin all day long, but until you begin to appropriate and appreciate the shed blood of Jesus Christ, you will never have that incentive you need to crucify the flesh, take up your cross and follow Him, and to live a pure and holy life in gratitude for such a great gift of God to us through Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't just die on the cross, my friend. Jesus suffered and died. He wasn't just killed for our sins like the sacrificed lamb whose throat was quickly cut and death became almost immediate. Jesus suffered and died. Jesus Christ was tortured to death hour after grueling hour in order that you and I might be saved. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Never be ashamed to declare, profess, and confess Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. If it brings a little persecution, what is that? It only identifies you with that great number who have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Young person, if you're listening to me today and you're under peer pressure, I want you to know something. We always say the young people are under peer pressure, but we adults and we old folks, we got peers too. And when we go out into the public arena and we go out to work and we go out into our vocations, there are always going to be people pressing us to not stand up and proclaim Christ like we should. And I'm telling you something today, amen, I am so glad, amen, to be able to declare Him. And if you can't handle me being a radical Christian, then you just can't handle me at all. Amen. If you want a relationship with me, you got to understand that I love Jesus Christ. I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I make no bones about it. I want to get that established up front. And then if you want to hang with me, that's fine. If you don't want to hang with me, that's fine too. I have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We used to sing the old Christian hymn, "I have somebody with me to share my heavy load. I feel His presence near me every day. Though trouble overtake me on life's weary road, I have somebody with me all the way. Hallelujah. I value having this friend named Jesus Christ, and I value having a Heavenly Father who accepts me in the Beloved. Hallelujah. Make sure my name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. It promises to go with me always, even unto the end of the age. I am so glad to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus Christ, not just a church goer. Praise God. Amen. If you've accepted Christ as your personal Savior, God sees the blood. The blood of Jesus speaks to God on our behalf. Not only can we plead the blood of Jesus, but the blood of Jesus pleads in our behalf. Hallelujah. So, what does the blood of Jesus say to we who have been accepted and have accepted Jesus as our personal Savior? The blood speaks to God. Amen. What does the blood of Jesus say to you and to me? He cries that we are forgiven, that we are reconciled unto God, that we are accepted in the Beloved. Our past is past. Our guilt is gone. Our conscience is clear. I want to say that to you again. Our past is past. Our guilt is gone, and our conscience is clear. Look at Hebrews 9, verse 12 through 14. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth unto the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot unto God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Isn't it amazing that though the God of the universe no longer accuses us, our conscience sometimes does? Getting God's forgiveness isn't difficult. Accepting it and proclaiming it and forgiving ourselves is the absolute challenge. Praise God. One of the great hymn writers of the past struggled with these very issues. His name was William Cowper. It's pronounced Cooper, I believe. Amen. A young lawyer with a brilliant mind found the pressures of life overwhelming and had a complete mental breakdown. And while confined in the asylum and suffering for prolonged periods of deep depression, he would spend much of his time reading from the Scriptures, remembering his spiritual upbringing as a child and his concern for the eternal destiny of his soul. He struggled with the question of his salvation and peace with God. One day, while reading the book of Romans, he was confronted with the words of the Apostle Paul, who said, in Romans 3:23 through 25, this is the portion he was reading: for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be a propitiation or a satisfaction through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. While admitting his need for personal redemption and the sufficiency that is in the blood of Jesus, our great Savior, being convicted by the Holy Spirit, William Cooper realized a personal relationship with Christ and a sense of forgiveness of sin. He therefore was gloriously converted at the age of 33 years old in 1764. I'm telling you, it is a joy, amen, when the absolute power of the shed blood of Jesus is brought to bear in your life experience. It is a joy to have your sins forgiven. It, what a relief and release when all the guilt is gone. Hallelujah. And what a wonderful feeling to get up in the morning knowing that if you draw your last breath this day, that you will leave your body and you will go directly into the presence of God, because the blood of Jesus Christ pleads in your behalf. Hallelujah. We plead the blood because the blood pleads in our behalf. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. While living in Only Parish, William Cooper lived in a small house whose backyard joined the parsonage yard where Reverend Newton and his family resided. This is John Newton, who wrote the great hymn, Amazing Grace. Here at the Only Parish, Newton and Cooper became very close friends and worked together in the writing of religious poetry for the services of the church. Newton became a spiritual father to Cooper and a real source of needed inspiration in helping him overcome his spells of religious doubts and mental depressions and emotional morbidity. Even after Cooper's conversion, he endured several periods of time when he seriously doubted the love of God for him and his security as a believer. Have you ever been there? We pray you'll tune in to these broadcasts. If you have doubts and fears and you're a Christian, we want to see those assuaged. We want to see those brought down. We want to see faith arise. The blood of Jesus speaks, and we can speak boldly as well. Both Newton and Cooper were very talented poets and writers of religious verse, and with their combined efforts produced the famous Only Hymns. The book of 349 hymns became one of the most important contributions to musical worship in evangelical Christianity. Among the 67 hymns written by William Cooper while living at Only, under the patient care of Mrs. Irwin and spiritual inspiration of his pastor, John Newton, the hymn that testifies of his final peace with his Savior stands out as one of the anthems of the church and a monument to the sovereign grace of God. While sitting alone one day at his desk in his little house under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and with the words of the prophet Zechariah 13:1 fresh in his mind, he began to pen these comforting words: "There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains." That scripture in Zechariah that had inspired him to write these great words said, "In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and uncleanness." Hallelujah. The second verse of the great hymn said, "The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away, washed all my sins away, washed all my sins away. And there have I, though vile as he, washed all my sins away." Praise God. There's three other verses to that great anthem, but all of them are a testimony to the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. So today we want to invite you, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, to come into this wonderful, powerful blood covenant that will cleanse you from sin, that will take your guilt away, that will cleanse your conscience, praise God, that will give you a sense of newness and wholeness in your life, that will give you a new beginning. We can't turn back the clock. We can't go back and live our life over, but we can have a brand new start the moment we repent of our sins and receive Christ as our personal Savior. And I pray today that if you don't know Him, that this would be the day that you would open your heart to Him and accept Him into your personal life. And today, if you're a Christian and you are struggling with bouts of depression, with times when you feel so unworthy and such a failure, that you will realize that the blood of Jesus speaks in our behalf. He shed that blood that we could be reconciled with God and be accepted in the Beloved. And today, if there's sin in your life, just go to God. Ask Him to forgive you. If you've stumbled and fell, repent of your sin. Cling to the cross and declare the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus, because the blood of Jesus is pleading for you today. Oh, how we love Him. How we love to minister what He has done. So wonderful. Words can never fully describe. But if you repent of your sins and you receive Him, you will know. You will know. Hallelujah. We love you today. Amen. Why don't you tune in next week? Don't miss next week's broadcast. Come back to WMAF at 2 p.m. and let's talk about Jesus Christ. Thank you.